I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 5, from verse 25. This evening I'd like us to consider a Bible character called Lamech. In fact, there are two called Lamech. One is in chapter 4, who's quite an unpleasant sounding character, a violent thug. The Lamech we read of today is of the line of Seth, and is somewhat godlier. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 25. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Well, we're in that period of Bible history when people seem to live an awful lot of, they have an awful lot of years upon the earth. And this character, Lamech, we don't know much about him. He's the father of Noah. He doesn't seem to boast like the so-called bad Lamech of chapter 4. The Lamech of chapter 4 tells people what he has done, what he is going to do. He has children who play music and make things, and it's all very much a boasting of human efforts and human ability and what he's achieved and how nobody ought to lay a finger on him. But the Lamech we have in chapter 5 doesn't say anything about what he has done, but rather what he is hoping for. What do we know about him? Verse 28, Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. Well, there may be good reason for thinking carefully about when one is ready to have and start a family. Do we want to do it in our early 20s or our mid-20s or our late 20s? Some people perhaps in their 30s or 40s. Then we have Lamech, 182. Now, is it because actually he's had lots of other children already? He's not been sitting around idly. And this son is the most important of those he will have. Or perhaps he looks around at the world in which he lives and thinks, "I could not bring a child to live here." We know that is increasingly a violent and a horrible place at this time in human history. And nevertheless, 182 years he had a son. And he called him Noah. And something he said is recorded in verse 29. "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." Certainly, even in Victorian times or the middle of the 20th century, farming families would often have a lot of children, because certainly for the first 5 to 20 years of the lives, they would be expected to help on the farm, and at least one of them would be expected to inherit it. So if you wanted some farm labourers who wouldn't expect to be paid apart from bed and board, you have lots of children. I don't think that is Lamech's logic in verse 29 of chapter 5. He will comfort us concerning our work, especially if Noah is the firstborn, because it means he's been engaged in agricultural work for probably 170 years and he's managed perfectly well without somebody helping him. No, he's not wanting more hands on the family farm. but rather he's referring to the cursed ground. And we know at the fall, we read in chapter 3, verse 17, "Then to Adam the Lord said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." It is possible that the ground before the great flood of Noah was even more hostile than it is today. We know that things with spines and prickly bits still grow. There is a border of our chapel which always seems to have brambles growing in it. But it might be that between the fall of man and Noah's flood, that the ground was especially hostile towards Adam and his descendants. And perhaps here, Lamech has grown particularly weary of it. And he's aware of the Lord's curse upon the ground. And yet, how would Noah bring comfort if the ground is particularly hard to till? If you plant a crop and you get lots of prickly, spiny things which hurt your hand and damage you when you go anywhere near it, how would another son help with that? Well, not only, I think, is Lamech familiar with the cursed ground which the Lord pronounced to Adam in chapter 3 of verse 17, but I'm sure he was also familiar with the hope of deliverance promised also in that chapter. Not actually spoken to Adam, nor to Eve, but to the serpent. Verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And theologians, quite rightly, I think, hear or read that pronouncement by God to the serpent and say, here is the first promise of future deliverance. Here is the first reference to the Messiah, the seed of the woman. As the scriptures were recorded and more was revealed to the prophets, we learned more about this figure. We knew, for example, that he would be born in Bethlehem. He would be a suffering servant. He would be pierced. He would be cut off. He would be rejected by his own. Here, though, in Genesis chapter 3, the detail is sparing. All we know is that he is the seed of the woman, that he will bruise the serpent's head, and that somehow he will undo the curse. Somehow he will find a way to readmit the children of Adam and Eve back unto the mountain of the Lord and to that wonderful paradise of Eden. Those early generations might not have understood how. I don't think they understood when. I think when Eve has Cain, she says, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." She probably thought, this man will be the way, the means by which we can go back into that wonderful paradise. Well, if she thought that about Cain, how disappointed must that mother have been? Well, Lamech, I think, has a similar hope about his son. And yet, in a way, he was right. Noah was the ancestor of the Messiah, the great deliverer, was of Lamech, was of Noah, was of Shem, later on of Abraham, of Judah. And we get the family tree recorded for us. And in one respect, Noah was a great deliverer. God commanded him to build an ark and the world was destroyed. But Noah and his family were saved. And that there was, as it were, a new creation. Noah is like an Adam Mark II. He comes out of the ark and he repopulates the earth. And whereas Noah names the animals and the animals come to him, Noah releases those animals from the ark back into the world. And your Eden has been washed away. The mountain of the Lord is no more. There's a whole load of new mountains on the world, but not one of them is the mountain of the Lord. Furthermore, Noah and his sons and his grandsons, they're born now with a sinful nature, unlike Adam. So although there is a sense in which Noah was a great deliverer, he didn't quite fulfill the wonderful promise. He didn't crush the serpent. It was another one to come after him. So Lamech thinks that Noah might be the one. And Noah is a partial fulfillment of that promise. And yet he wasn't the one. What have we just sung? Without reluctance, flesh and blood, his substance, he took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan, O glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know he is the great I am. Noah was not to be the serpent crusher, the ultimate one, the final one. In fact, it was the Lord himself who would take on flesh and blood. Lamech's DNA, Noah's DNA. And by becoming a man and living the perfect life as a new and greater Adam, but dying Adam's death, which he did not deserve, he would escort us back to Eden. So in one respect, Lamech put his hope in the wrong man. Noah was not the serpent crusher. And yet in a way, by hoping that his son Noah would undo the curse and relieve man's toil, in fact, he was showing a saving faith. How were Old Testament believers saved? It wasn't through a temple and a tabernacle. That's no good to Lamech. They haven't been built yet. They were saved by believing the promises of God. They could not see how they were being fulfilled, but they believed them nonetheless. Lamech, although he doesn't quote the promise of the serpent crusher, in fact, he refers to the curse, but he knows one will come who will undo that curse, and he hopes it's Noah. Well, Lamech, I think, was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ many, many years later. And in a way, of course, we continue to work, we continue to toil, and yet there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The curse on our own hearts has been lifted, and one day the curse upon planet Earth will go as well when the Lord Jesus comes back. He went on to have more sons and daughters, and in verse 31 we're told, so all the days of Lamech were 777 years. Some commentators spill a great deal of ink on analysing the significance of 777. Well, it might just be that's when how long he lived, or it might be there is some special theological significance to it. The Lord called him home at the right time, and so on and so forth. So in one respect, Lamech was wrong. But in another respect, he was right. He believed that God would save the human race based on what little information he had. We know that the earth is a nasty place at that time. And that the ground is hostile. But Lamech was able to look beyond it and hoped that this child of his, Noah, might be the one through whom God delivers us.